Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
Hey, and welcome back, Army fans. We are now off the bye week on to yet another game week. It'll be week four, but game week number three for the Black Knights. We have the Rice Owls this week for the first time since 2019, a familiar foe. Let's get into it. Rob, we have in Fayetteville, North Carolina, I believe, Dan, Coastal Connecticut. I am James out of Oklahoma City. How are we doing?
Never better, man. I am so ready for this game. Got a bunch of friends coming up for this one, classmates, tailgate. Promises to be pretty damn exciting.
Rob?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. I mean, college football is exciting this season. I think the 12-team playoff has affected the whole mentality of a lot of collegiate programs, particularly the football. But it's going to be interesting to see which teams can stay hot this week and which teams cannot. And, hoping that Army comes out like gangbusters after the bye week and puts it on the Rice Owls. But we'll talk about that a little bit more.
Yeah, I am excited to see. I'm sure we'll talk about it as we get closer to the initial college football playoff rankings this year. But what is it going to look like? Are they going to respect the ACC the way that they have in the past? Obviously not at the end of last year, but are they still going to get treated like a power conference? Is the Big 12 going to get treated like a power conference? Is it going to be basically Big 10, SEC? What does it look like as far as, group of five conference? Lots of questions. We don't know what the committee is going to do. So looking forward to that. Let's hop into our first commercial. Rob, you want to take this one?
Yeah. So if you've been listening to the show, at least this season, you know that we have a sponsor here by the name of Jocelyn Bradley. She is a realtor in the Fort Liberty area, and she is the realtor for you. Jocelyn is a veteran who spent her Army career in logistics. That's where she discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream homes. And when they are in the market, she provides exceptional service when she's working for you. Jocelyn also has an extended network of veteran realtors who can support you if you're moving anywhere else in the country. And she should be your first call if you're in the market for a home. Jocelyn has decided to support us at Ask for Football this season, and she is the right person to help you get into the home of your dreams. Do not take buying a house as guesswork. Find somebody that you can trust. There's a lot of home ownership referral services, but utilizing the West Point network with somebody that you can trust and somebody that is supporting us is a person that you want to take a look at. So go to the website, look at her little business card on the side, click on it, and get in touch with Jocelyn, and she'll help you find a new place to live. So back to you, James.
All right, guys. So I am, officially getting old. I just saw that my first class reunion hat was shipped to my address today. So I'm looking forward to that.
Are you officially an 03 now? When you're an 03,
You've
been an old man for a while.
Yeah.
You're like a real adult by the time you pin on captain or your case lieutenant.
Yeah. Once you get first lieutenant, second award, Army style, then you've moved on to bigger and better things.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, so let's revisit the season a little bit so far. Two games, so we can't read too much into it, but we'll throw some stats at you just to give you, now that there's been three full weeks of college football, the rundown on how Army's doing compared to the rest of the country. So I'll just rapid fire these. Number one rushing offense with 390 yards a game, tied number one in tackles for loss allowed by the offense, just two all season, one each game. The number four in time of possession with more than 35 minutes per game, although Air Force put on a masterclass and why that doesn't always matter last week. Tied number one in fourth down conversions, were 3 for 3 at 100%. Number five in red zone defense, just 50% of scores, 50% of red zone trips end in a score, two touchdowns and two field goals and eight opportunities. Number six in the nation in rushing yards per carry at 6.8. number nine in third down offense with over 57% converted, number nine in fewest penalties per game at 3.5, tied number 23 in turnover margin at plus two, obviously at a bit of a disadvantage there, having only played two games. Number 27 in offensive yards per play at just about seven. Tied for number 33 in fourth down defense with 33% conversions allowed and 39 in total offense with 440 yards a game. 43 in third down defense with 31.6 conversions allowed. So everything's looking good. Obviously, grain of salt, only two games under our belt, only three games under the belts of everybody else, and a lot of FCS play in there. Good signs to start the year. Take you through some computer rankings. The S&P Plus has Army at 87th, the Football Power Index at 84th, and then Massey has us at 75th. I believe Sagarin and we're a little bit further behind at 91st. All of these are significantly skewed still by the results of last year. I believe S&P Plus will use last year's results, at least in some part, through the entirety of the season. And Sagarin, I think it's by week six or so, it'll be completely independent. So every model is a little different, but slightly better this year than last year so far, just two games in. The other significant thing about these computer rankings is that our defense is rated slightly better than our offense, which is interesting. I don't think I would necessarily have thought that. Unless they bifurcated it. So Massey has the defense at 69th with the offense at 105th. And again, part of that has to do with expectations from previous years. Dan, you want to take us through the next section?
Yeah, so I talked to Craig while I was out in Maine, actually, who had talked to one of the coaches, a guy that had coached at Army, and now he's at FAU, just kind of about what they thought about Army. And it was an interesting conversation, so I just kind of wanted to drop it in here. And I already put most of this in the scouting report. So if you are a firstie and you read the scouting report, you've seen this. But the FAU coaching staff felt like they liked the team that they had. Like, they have a lot of talent, which I think we would all agree with. However, with 35 new players, they were kind of aware that it was going to take time for those guys to gel together and you know, put it together and put on a whole team effort. They thought that if they played Army later in the season, the Black Knights would have met a better or a different team, which I think is probably true. FIU appears to have met a different team in the second half. And, I just think that's a trend worth watching because there's a lot of free agency going on in college football. Not so much with Rice. Rice is kind of the exception to the rule, but just in general, there are a lot of teams that are like 50% new all over the place in college football. And I think what we're seeing in the first half is not necessarily super indicative of what we're going to see in the second half of the season. And FAU staff was also supposedly hoping to wear away at Army's defense in the heat, get into some of the second stringers while the Black Knights were rotating to keep everybody fresh. And obviously the wheels came completely off that plan because Army managed to maintain such an overwhelming time of possession that there was no getting into the bench. So I didn't get a chance to get on the show last week, but I thought that the coaching staff prepared just an A-plus plan for last week's game. They knew exactly what they were up against and they prepared for it perfectly. And then the team pulled it off without a hitch. I know that Coach Munkin has things that he wants to talk about and on film and all that, but you know, as a fan watching it on TV, I didn't think it was going to go any better than that under any circumstances.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. They talked a little bit about how Army's coaching staff even acknowledged you have to capitalize on that initial punch as a triple option offense, because as that defense gets to see the speed of the option live, they start to adjust to it. So you have to capitalize on those early drives and then, you know, bide your time over the second and third quarter to allow yourself to then use that time of possession to your advantage in the fourth quarter when the other defense is kind of tired out and be able to deliver the final punch. So that was pretty interesting. Fact or fiction, you can go listen to the show last week. We didn't have any last week because it was the bye week. Dan, you want to take us through our commercial?
Yeah. So if you've listened to the show before, you will know that Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending for New American Funding, is a sponsor of As for Football. As we just discussed, he threw a big tailgate down at the FAU game and a bunch of guys went to it. So that was awesome. Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states. He is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. Why? Because he is going to give you super competitive rates. He is going to work with you person to person and help simplify things as much as he possibly can, which is emphatically not what you're going to get from some call center, random big box bank, or mindless website. And friends, this is how the West Point Network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at As for Football, and we're trying to help you get the best deal on a mortgage that you possibly can by introducing you to the man that you need to meet. And again, when you're buying a house, like, it is a confusing, complicated, very expensive process, and you would really like to work with people that you can trust. And this is why you just have to reach out and take advantage of the people that are in your network. And that's Jocelyn. That's also Craig. And additionally, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. It's a huge savings. That's like $1,300. Get that money. I mean, you have got to take that money. So Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending, check him out. He's got a link on our website. Like Jocelyn, he's got a little business card. You click on that, fill out a little questionnaire. You'll be talking to him in a couple of hours. It is too easy.
All right, so let's hop into the Rice preview. Rice 1-2 so far this season. Lost the home opener to Sam Houston State, 34-14. A bit of a surprising result. Sam Houston struggled quite a bit last year, although they seem to have found their footing so far in this season's campaign. They had a lot of turnovers earlier in that game, and they never really recovered from that, scoring just twice. Then they went and they played Texas Southern, an FCS school. They won 69-7. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Then last weekend, they had a rivalry game against Houston. That was on Saturday night and lost 33-7. Again, never really got that offense going. This is Coach Mike Blumgren's seventh year with the program. He has coached at Army before, back in, I believe, 2018 or 2019, around that time. He's got an experienced team. He managed to keep together over the offseason, brought in a new quarterback in E.J. Warner. So he's got to be pretty disappointed with his team's inability to really get it going against other FBS squads this year. Offense, Dan, you want to take the offense?
Yeah, so it's kind of a pro-style offense in the sense that they want to use play-action passing and just the run. Old school handing off to the running back run, not the read option, to set up a ton of short passing plays and then take some deep shots. Outside of their game with Texas Southern, however, they haven't been particularly effective on offense, as you said. They've punted 17 times versus Sam Houston State and Houston. They're also -3 on turnover margin, good for 109th, and they're averaging just 26 minutes time of possession. This offense has just not been able to stay on the field. EJ Warner looks like he's regressed. He's slightly more accurate at 62%, has thrown for 466 yards in three games, but he's thrown four interceptions against three touchdowns, and he's taken three sacks. And he is right now throwing for a good bit less than 5 yards per attempt. He's two full yards per attempt under where he was at Temple, which is like very strange. That is nuts. When you're averaging 4 yards per attempt, that's like really using the passing game as an addition of the running game. And additionally, you know, Warner, not much of a runner. He has three non-sack carries for all of 13 yards this entire season. The big runner on the team, arguably the best offensive player on the team, is running back Dean Connors. Connors has 32 carries for almost 200 yards. He's just over 6 yards per carry, got five touchdowns. He's also got 18 catches for 81 yards, leads the team in receptions, third in total receiving yards. If there's one guy to watch and to really key on during this game, it's Connors, because if he gets going, the rest of the offense is liable to get going. And if he doesn't get going, I don't know how much I believe EJ Warner is going to put it together on his own, but I guess we'll see. Finally, wide receiver Matt Sykes leads the team in receiving yards, 10 catches, 127 yards, one touchdown. Again, if Connors gets going, these wide receivers are liable to get going. But if he doesn't get going, I don't know what's going to happen. But I do think this team is going to put it together at some point. Hopefully not this week.
So if you had to cook up an offense that would give Army's defense trouble, you know, you'd say a mobile quarterback who likes to slip at the right time.
Yeah.
Right. A quarterback that is deadly on his, you know, 5 yard throws to the perimeter that are 25 yards, you know, from where he's actually throwing it.
Yep.
And a running back that, you know, maybe a something like a Wake Forest slow mesh, but a slippery running back who can.
Well, that Wake Forest offense was exactly the example of what you're talking about.
Right. Now, Wake Forest
a guy
also
who can throw and right. he can run, and they had a good running back, and that's why they hung 1,000 points on Army's defense.
Right. This seems a little different than that. Correct me if I'm wrong, but EJ Warner seems very good on his throws to the perimeter. And Dean Connors is a slippery back who can go for long runs, but I just don't see that third aspect of the quarterback being able to slip out and pick up 20 on his legs like we've seen countless quarterbacks do against Army's defense and midfield.
We shall see. I thought that they did an outstanding job maintaining the rush lanes last weekend.
Yeah.
Our last game against FAU. So this, and they got good pressure, I thought, against FAU. Warner is like a completely different kind of cat, though. So it's a very different kind of preparation.
All right, Rob, you want to go defense?
Yeah, on to the defense. Rice is a good but not great defense that's not getting a lot of help from their offense. And so, you know, it's typical possession football, right? If I can keep the opposing team's defense on the field, I have a good chance. And unfortunately for Rice, it is the reverse of that. So their defense is on the field way longer than they probably should be. They're 86th in rushing defense overall. They allowed 151 yards rushing per game with 3.7 yards per carry. But they just allowed 38 yards on 1.1 yard per carry against Texas Southern. Again, that's an FBS or FCS team. So not a good indicator of how the defense is going to play. Sam Houston State rushed for 178 yards, almost 4 yards per carry. And Houston ran for 237 yards on 5.6 yards per carry. The one thing that Rice does well is get after the passer. They have 14 sacks in 3 games. They've also forced 5 punts each against Sam Houston State and Houston. A reason to be worried if you're a Rice fan, quarterback Sean Fraish leads the team with 14 tackles, 10 solos. That's more tackles than the Owls' top two linebackers combined. So that means, you know, they're getting to the second level, and this guy's probably chasing people from behind because he has the speed to do so. Not a good recipe when you have a good edge runner and Noah Short. And certainly not a good recipe if you're a cornerback and you have to feather the pitch between Bryson Daly and Noah Short. Who do I tackle? I mean, that's a pretty epic conundrum for that young man to have to solve, you know, in real time. And, you know, to go back to your previous point about the, you know, the turnover and introducing all new players in the teams, like now college football is not just about making halftime adjustments with the personnel that you have, but now it's making those midseason adjustments with the personnel that you have, because it's easy to change the scheme when you really know everybody's background and they've kind of grown up in their program, but now you have brand new people. So how do I make those adjustments on the fly while I'm going against an offense that, you know, I may not see again during the season? And given the way that Army, Navy, and Air Force have now changed the way that they run the triple option, but they're still running the triple option of some variation, now you have 3 different sets of offenses, because Navy's offense looks completely different from the offense that Army is running. And Air Force, you know, for all their woes and troubles, they don't look the same as they did last year either. And I don't know if that's athletics or scheme, but as a defense, like now I have to defend, you know, 3 backs with close to, you know, 300 yards rushing, and we're only in game 3 of the season for Army. So that's going to be pretty potent struggle for the defense to have to deal with.
You know, every week Dan does offense, Rob does defense, and I do special teams. And I never complain that I'm taking the smallest chunk. And that's not to say I don't want to hear myself talk, because I absolutely do. But every week, these special teamers end up on the screen, and I don't have the slightest clue how to pronounce their names, nor the time to or the effort to look it up. So I'm going to spell this guy's name. Their place kicker, E Echo N November O Oscar C Charlie K Kilo Gotta Gota. I don't know. Their place kicker is 2 for 2 on field goals with a long of 44 and perfect 9 for 9 on extra points. Never attempted a kick beyond 44 yards in his career. Punter, easy first name, Alex. Last name, Bichetta. I'm guessing Bichetta. I don't know.
You're doing good.
He's done a lot of punting this year, but he's done that punting very well. He's averaging about 42 yards a kick and just 1 touchback, which is very impressive. So that's your special teams. On the other side of the ball, you know, Army has not done much special teams at all other than their two notable fake plays. So that'll be an interesting matchup, I think. Weather and the betting line. So line opened at Army minus 4.5. I saw it rise up to 6.5. Right now it's sitting at 5.5. Who the hell knows what's going on? The over under, I think the total started at around 49 and now it's down to 43. I don't know. It has been a wild line this week with Army Rice. It opened the total line opened crazy high and it's since rolled back quite a bit. So the early money is probably looking good on that one.
Over under 42.5 right now.
42.5. I think it opened at 49.5, if I'm not mistaken.
That is nuts.
It was crazy.
Certainly take the under.
That would be
my recommendation for sure.
That was insane. By the way, if you look at that, I think I did the math. You know, half the over under plus half the spread is what Vegas is predicting Army to score, and it was like 24 points. I'm a little optimistic, more optimistic than that. I think 24 is on the low end for Army this week, but you know we'll see. Weather should be good, partly cloudy, temps in the 70s, and no precipitation or high winds in the forecast. Let's go to takes on the game. Rob, you want to start us off?
Yeah. So, you know, my only comment for the Army offense is run the damn ball. I think we've proven this season that running the ball is going to be the sweet spot for them. Like just pound the rock. Like that's it for the offense. Defensive wise, I want to see front seven play as good as it was against FAU. You know, they were able to contain Cam Fancher, who's a very elusive runner. And so forcing him to climb the pocket and throw was very, very helpful. But, I think cornerback play is going to be huge. Our defensive backs are going to have to play a little bit better and tighter coverage this week just because of the simple fact that EJ Warner is probably the best passing quarterback that we've seen all season to this point. And I get it, it's only game three, but on this part of the campaign, he's probably the best arm that we're going to see. The upside is he's going to climb the pocket, so that creates opportunities for sacks. But the downside is if he's climbing the pocket, that increases the opportunity for double moves and for guys to get open downfield. And so I think a combination of pressure and coverage will keep him under wraps. But if he gets going or starts heating up, I mean, that could be a problem, particularly if they get the running game and the passing game balanced, then it's going to create a significant problem set for the defense.
Okay, Dan?
Yeah, my biggest issue heading into this game is just the Army team psychology. You know, Army doesn't always play its best when they're a favorite. I feel like when they're between a 3 and a 7 point underdog is about when you get the very best you're going to see out of the Black Knights. And if they were a 7 point home underdog this week, I would feel super confident. But with them almost a touchdown favorite, it makes me nervous. And, you know, here you got a team with a solid defense that will probably force some punts. So, you know, there's going to be an aspect of resilience in this game. You know, whoever is the most resilient, you know, there's a Rice team, for better or worse, they sort of got their ass kicked up one side and down the other, and that can go either way. You know, if they start getting a sense that, hey, we're in this thing, then, you know, they might put it together. And I firmly believe that at some point they're going to turn it around because this is a good team. Like, they do have good players. They just are not firing on all cylinders yet. And if Army is making mistakes and letting these guys hang around, this could be the game in which they turn it around and everybody's like, how the hell did Army lose to Rice? So psychology, you know, resilience, executing everything the way that you're supposed to do it and just doing all the right shit, that's how Army wins in my mind. And that's on both sides of the ball.
My biggest fear, I think this is generally the case, but particularly this week, is turnovers. Coming off of a week, maybe a little stale, a bye week, maybe a little stale, and they put the ball on the deck or something like that. And all of a sudden, like you said, Rice feels like they're in it. If you probably won't be listening to this before the preview drops, but if you are, then the spoiler. I looked back, it was like since 2016 or something like that, or 2017. It's in the preview this week. Only two teams have won a game in Army without winning the turnover margin. One of them was a tied turnover margin. I think it was Tulane, and the other one was that Wake Forest game. Or one of the Wake Forest games, maybe the earlier one. I forget exactly what it was. It's in the article. But it is a crazy amount of Like you have to, in order to win in Mikey Stadium, you have to win the turnover margin. All but two teams that have won there have done that. You're coming off of a bye week. You can't forget that. So turnovers, key number one. Number two, field position. They have a punter who is a very good punter. We have a punter who has punted twice in his collegiate career. Now, he looked good in those two punts, but he's punted twice in his collegiate career. So if you end up three and outing, you have to have a good punt. You have to have good punt coverage. If you have the opportunity to try to return a punt, that's important, especially if we're talking about the middle quarters of the game where maybe there's not as much scoring going on. You have to make sure that you're winning the field position battle. If you can get even one first down out of a drive compared to none on the other side, that is a huge win. So in the middle of the game, the middle quarters of the game, key in on field position because you can start chipping away at points there. And then lastly, assignment football and defense. We talked about this a little bit, but Rice does not complete long passing plays. That's not to say that they haven't at all, but they really don't as a matter of the record this year. If you look at, I don't think that looking at FCS wins is the most helpful thing in terms of statistics, but one thing it is helpful for is if you look at an offensive scheme in an FCS game, it's what that offense is trying to be. They are trying to execute the offense that they want to execute to the best of their ability against a team that probably can't defend it very well. If you look at the offense that they executed against Texas Southern, they had two passing plays of greater than 20 yards the entire game. They scored 69 points and had two passing plays of greater than 20 yards. They're not going to try and send long ball after long ball in this game. They're going to try to chip away at you. Now, what they did do is have rushing plays of 20 plus yards all over the place. So assignment football and defense, it's going to be very much like playing a service academy where you have to make sure your rushing lanes are covered, not for the quarterback, but for these running backs that keep gouging defenses. You have to make sure that Connors is covered on all parts of the field. Give up the 15-yard passing play and don't allow the 70-yard rush, which is what happened multiple times against Texas Southern. So for me, it's that assignment football, the field position of the turnovers, and I think you have a huge recipe for success. I think Army could do a lot of damage against Rice if they control those three things. Let's. Do you guys have anything else?
No, awesome.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I think we're all saying the same thing, unfortunately, for better or worse. You know, this is a game that Army should win. We all think mm-hmm. Army probably will win. However, Rice has a lane. It's pretty obvious that if a couple of key things go wrong, the wheels can come off. And unfortunately, we've all seen that.
Yeah, for sure. And then there's a comment from Dave. So I think this team is out to earn respect and prove something after the last two seasons of 6-6. I think they'll be hungry despite not being favored. Or being favored.
He's talking about the Army team. I thought you were talking about Rice too there for a second.
Yeah, I had to reread that. But like it's true. I think that's fair. I think right now, like the overall attitude, at least that we've seen coming out of West Point and the media stuff, is like it's a different team. Like it's not the teams that we've seen in the past. It's feeling more like the 2017, 2018 season, but they still gotta play the games.
All right, let's go to fact or fiction.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
Rob, why don't you start us with yours?
All right, so Army will have two players with at least 100 yards rushing.
I'll go fact. I'm not totally sure I believe that, but screw it, I say fact.
I'm going to go fiction just because, that happened last week, but it was sort of at the last second. I feel like they share the love a little bit more than that.
Yeah, they've been real good about sharing the load, which is ideal and is what you want. But
Yeah, I'm gonna say fact. I think Kanye Udo and Bryson Daly are gonna go off and get about 100 yards rushing apiece. I think we're on trend right now to have 2,000 to 3,000 yard rushers and a couple 700 yard rushers, which is phenomenal. If they can maintain the pace that they're at, we're going to have at least 2,000 to 3,000 yard rushers this season, which would be super awesome. But anyway, over to you, Dan.
This does seem like one of those games that Kanye Udo could actually go off in because, if your leading tackler is a cornerback, and don't get me wrong, their second leading tackler is a linebacker, but if if the strength of this team's tackling is the secondary, that usually indicates you're going to get a very, very healthy dose of the fullback dive. So we may actually see Kanye Udo break something off here. Related, my factor fiction is Army is still over 6.5 yards per carry for the season after this game, which, by the way, is phenomenal. And the only other time we've ever seen that was 2017.
Where are they at right now?
They're at 6.99.
They're at 6.99. Anything. I'm going to go fiction. And I think it's fiction. I think they pound the ball between the tackles this game. I think you get fewer – I think you get longer drives, and I think you get fewer long runs. And as a result, the yards per carry goes down. I don't know. I'm going to go fiction.
Rob?
I'm going to say fact. And for those of you guys that are old enough to remember, I want to see Doc run quite a few times, and that was a great play several years ago, and we had one of our better split backs rack up record-setting yardage running that inside dive play. So Doc is the call for me. I think it's going to be fact.
I'm going to go fact as well. You know, they're off to a good start, and I really, this offense is looks better than the Army offense has looked in a good long time. They figured something out, and I really, as long as they can hold on to the ball, I'm really optimistic about what this team looks like this season.
All right, let's go to the other side of the ball. My factor fiction: Army records more than 2.5 sacks in this game.
Ooh, I'll say fiction. I wish I believed that, but I don't. I mean, have we seen that at all? They haven't been putting up too many sacks. I mean, tackles for loss in the running game, yes, but actually sacks of the guy trying to make a pass, we have not seen very much this season. So unfortunately, I'm going to say fiction. Good week for it, but no.
I'm going to say fiction as well. I think they're going to get some pressures on EJ Warner, but I don't know if they're going to get sacks. I think he's used to getting the ball out quickly, so I think they're going to get to him. But like that's why he has 4 picks too. You know, he's used to getting the ball out quickly before he eats a sack, and he's going to throw it away. So that's what I'm going to stick with is fiction. But I mean, I'll be happy if they got it. Like,
if you're throwing 4-yard outs, like that's your long throws are like 6 yards. It is very hard to get a sack on a guy who's like just dumping the ball. I mean, that's like, you know, 3 steps and
he's getting it out of there pretty quickly. But like I said, if he get pressure on him, he's likely to throw a pick more than he is a touchdown. So we'll see. But if it happens, I will not complain. So I will be gladly wrong on that one.
So I am going to say fact. I think Army's defensive line has a breakout game. Hmm. Army has not recorded a sack this season, by the way. I think with the number one, it's sort of a statistical play. In other words, if you have a guy on a QB draw, they're not going to count that as a sack. They'll count it as a tackle for a loss.
Yeah.
And last week, you know, that sort of thing with a mobile quarterback, whereas EJ Warner is going to sit there. So if he gets tackled behind the line of scrimmage, it's going to count as a sack. He got sacked twice against Sam Houston State. I think our defensive line is going to have a breakout game, and I think they're gonna dominate the line of scrimmage on that side of the ball. And I think they get to 3.
Okay. Well, let's hope so. That would be awesome. Yeah. I'm not optimistic, but let's hope so.
All right. Start wrapping things up. Patreon. So if you like Astro Football, you want to support our coverage of Army Sports and the American Conference, we could use your help through Patreon. Go to patreon.com/asforfootball. Also go to asforfootball.com/subscribe. At the yearling level, you get our weekly games and locks of the week. At the Cal level, you'll get that plus our scouting report, which has, I guess, as Dan has said, has received some rave reviews in the recent weeks. At the Firsty level, you get that plus access to our exclusive Firsty Club, a private Facebook group for top-level patrons, and we'll have a game chat up every week. It's always a fun place to hang out. We're all super fans there. We tried hard to keep it positive. It's a private group, so it all stays there, and it's not subject to a bunch of crazy people calling you dumb for having an opinion.
The best thing about the chat is that after it's over, it just gets flushed forever.
Yeah. It is. And it's, as I said, it's all positive. A lot of these Facebook groups, you see somebody make a comment and then 7 different people have somehow 9 different opinions about that. And, and you can never end the conversation. So, this is a lot, you know, it's a relatively smaller, you know, small group, compared to some of those massive groups, and it's just a lot more fun to interact with people there. You also get access to live show recordings like this one, so you can interact with us during the show. In reality, we spent a lot of money over the last year or two trying to improve this show. We have a few subscriptions now, StreamYard. We're using AI to improve sound quality, and we are trying our best to have regular recording times and regular content releases to make this a more professional product, so we would appreciate your support. And if you want, we're going to do a newsletter ad as well. Dan, you want to check
that? Get on our mailing list. We send out one mailer a week, and with all that week's content, and that's it. Right now, it's a lot of content. You know, you get two American articles from Omar a week and all the Army stuff, and it's just, it's a lot, and I don't blame anybody who can't keep up. So, you know, sort of getting that rundown of what you might have missed, I think, is an easy way to follow Ask for Football, and also just to support us. Like, you can get that thing and send it to your friend who likes Army football but hates social media, because I like Army football but hate social media, and yet here we are.
All right, I think Rob, you got an announcement, and then we'll end the show with a fun topic.
Yeah, so I got a note. So I got a text earlier from Nick Cottrell from the Veteran Trash Talk Hour. They have a partnership with Grunt Style T-shirt. So if you want to help support those guys, that would be cool. They asked me to guest in because one of their guests flaked on them. So they were like, hey, let's get the Angry Colonel back. And so you will get to see me and all my glory on the Veteran Trash Talk Hour this Saturday at 5 p.m. Those guys drink a lot of whiskey. So I'm going to need some backup. So if you guys are more than willing to come, I need as many ring knockers to show up and support that one on Saturday. Thanks.
Good luck. I will be driving back from the game, or maybe even still sitting in the parking lot trying to convince my wife to drive home. But good luck. I appreciate you doing that one.
So final topic, right? So we know Pac-12 just rated four schools from the Mountain West, Pac-12, the Pac number sign. We'll see. Rated four schools from the Mountain West. So the Mountain West is now down to eight schools, which is the minimum. Looking kind of like a bleak future for the league, potentially more rating from the Pac-12. And then all of a sudden, Pete Thamel reports that sources say Air Force has emerged as a serious target to be added to the American Athletic Conference. They had emerged in conversations as a potential AAC add in recent months and years ago. There was a contention that maybe they and Boise would join. There was a contention that maybe they and Colorado State would join well before Army was in the league. Again, that talk heated up in recent months prior to the Pac-12 taking four Mountain West schools last week. So rumors are going again. We'll go around the table. Dan, what are your thoughts?
I mean, unfortunately, for better or worse, I think it's a good thing because you get one of Army's mandatory games inside the conference window and gives Army a little bit more freedom. You know, right now you've got essentially 10 conference games, counting Navy as a non-conference game and Air Force as a non-conference game. That leaves you with an FCS tune-up game and a Power 4 game, and your schedule just does not have any freedom of maneuver whatsoever. So if you move the Air Force game as a conference game, that gives you one more game to play Ball State or any of the other schools that you'd like to be able to play. And so from that standpoint, it's great. I do think, though, that Army and Navy both just need to throw Air Force to the wolves and say, yeah, you know, we don't care when that game is, you know, do whatever you have to do with it.
Yeah, you know, so a couple of things on that. Number one, Navy has even more to gain than Army does because they have their Notre Dame game on the schedule as well. So yeah. They have to play the same Power 4 opponent every year, and then they get their cupcake game. Army gets to rotate that, so they get to go play in Baton Rouge or in Wisconsin or Michigan or Oklahoma. I think Navy has more to gain. The other thing is, I'm not sure that all of the future games have been canceled yet from Army joining the conference, and this opens up a flex game to maybe save Army's athletic department a little bit of money.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Rob?
And who wants to lose those games? Like, some of those games are awesome.
Yeah.
Great. You know, I want to play Ball State. I loved playing all those MAC teams. Yeah. And, you know, there's some regional rivalries. Like, you don't want to give up playing Buffalo forever. Like right. Buffalo is right down the street. Let's play Buffalo. Yeah,
absolutely. And it allows you to maybe have two, you know, power opponents on the schedule in a year where you go to some, you know, you go to some big Baton Rouge type place. And then you also get to play a Syracuse or a BC or something like that.
So, yeah.
In a home and home series. Rob.
Yeah. So my thoughts on it is like, hey, why not? Let's stuff it full. 18 teams. Everybody else is doing it, right? You got the Big 18. You've got the SEC that's got 39 teams. You know, why not the American? Because, you know, from a, you know, all kidding aside, you know, stuff in those conferences really helps balance the conference schedule, because if you have more teams, then the hardest part is you're going to start rescheduling rivalries. And that's a problem. And I'm a purist when it comes to that stuff. I don't want to see a rivalry like every third year or every other year, something to that effect, because that's what would happen if these conferences get too big. And that's what we're going to see in the SEC and the Big Ten, is because they have so many teams, people are going to be playing every other year. That was habitually an annual staple on the schedule. But from a perspective of Air Force moving, like, they have to do something to maintain being competitive, because if the Mountain West is gutted, I mean, it's not going to – I don't know if it's going to help or hurt right now, because they still have enough teams to fill out a conference schedule. You know what I mean? They're going to have an 8-team conference schedule, but that means they have to play everybody in the conference. And for teams that have a scheme like, you know, like Air Force, having 8 opponents that have film on you and then they're trading back and forth, it's not going to help your cause. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's part of it. But the other piece of it is like, does Air Force really have a team? They haven't won against an FBS team. And I'm stealing a little bit from Coach Monken, but they haven't beat an FBS team since fall of last year. So do we even care? Like, I mean, like if they were running the table, if they were like 8-0 or 9-0, I think the discussion would be different, but they've dropped their last 5 FBS opponents. So who cares? Like, let them figure it out.
So I have a few questions about the whole thing, and I'm sure this is all being talked about, but, you know, Air Force, if they stay, are going to get the payout from all the schools leaving the Mountain West will amount to about $23 million a school. Right. So it's not insignificant. And to leave, Air Force is going to have to pay $17 million as an exit fee if they leave in 2 years. So you're talking about a $40 million swing for a service academy. It's not nothing. Additionally,
that's like half of the Mikey Stadium renovation project.
Well, maybe more like a quarter now, but yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And they just did their stadium renovation. So I don't know. That's something to consider, right? If we stick around and we can pick off the North Dakotas and states and the South Dakotas and states, and bring them into the Mountain West, all of a sudden you have a decent conference with a nice war chest. The flip side is, and this is the sort of structural imbalance that Air Force operates under, is that Army and Navy of the Patriot League, right? They get to put all their basketball and baseball teams in a conference of similar style schools, right? Yes, they're not public, but they're small schools in the Northeast that care about academics. Air Force doesn't have that. I'm not sure that the West Coast Conference, where all of their schools are within 50 miles of the shore, save Grand Canyon, is going to now all of a sudden want to send their volleyball teams across the Rockies to get the Air Force. They're not big budget schools. Yeah, they have their big basketball programs, but that's about it. So what is Air Force going to do with their volleyball teams and their basketball teams? Are they going to be sending them to South Florida? Is Air Force basketball going to play in Tampa or in Charlotte regularly? I
mean, is Air Force swimming going to come out and swim against Army or Navy? Because that hasn't happened ever, to my knowledge.
Right.
That's an expensive proposition. I mean, for real.
And so now we're talking about maybe a slight increase in revenue, right? The historical Mountain West, I'm sure it won't be this way with post being gutted, is about a $4 million a year payout. The American is historically about a $7 million a year payout. So is $3 million going to cover, if that's what they get, is that going to cover sending all of your sports now probably triple or quadruple the distances? I just don't see that working. So is this football only? Is it all sports? If it's football only, you know, where are they putting their other sports? Are they joining a loan? Right? Colorado State was one of the schools that got picked off by the Pac-12. who are they going to join? Do they have a partner that maybe they could reduce traveling costs with? I don't know. There's really nobody in the area unless you wanted to go Utah State, but that's not even really that close. And not a huge ad for the Americans. So a lot of questions still. I would like an extra game back on the schedule. I think that'd be interesting. It's a scary moment. Air Force right now could go anywhere from all the way going into the Pac-12. It won't be a power conference, but will be a conference that's probably better than the American if they get an invite. Or they'll be in a reduced Mountain West, which will be a huge step down. So I don't know.
Maybe it's time to shutter old Conference USA and re-scramble that deck.
It's interesting because one of the reasons the Air Force joined the Mountain West in the first place was to reduce their travel costs, especially for their football team. I mean, you really would rather not fly 3 to 4 hours east every time you have to play a football game. I mean, that's sort of like not the ideal. So that I think is something that somebody should probably talk over.
Yeah, I wonder too if this is all just a play by Air Force to get themselves an invite to the new Pac-12, right? If this is a you better act fast Pac-12 and invite us and UNLV, or else we might go somewhere, might go to a different conference. So that's certainly possible as well. Any other closing thoughts, guys?
No, man. Thank you. You did good. All right.
Sweet. All right. Well, about 45 minutes there. Decent given the news. We'll wrap that up and beat Rice.
Beat him.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Big thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate, for supporting us and the Long Gray Line. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, reach out to Jocelyn. She's got your back. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share the show with your friends. And as always, beat Nate.